Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yo, guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it. Good afternoon and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Last Lap podcast. Like, we're all doing well. We're here for a little cheeky in-between Grand Prix podcast this week. We're settling into a little bit of a break that would have been sort of pierced by China.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Pierced by China. Yeah, but unfortunately.
Good track as well, actually, Shanghai International.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bit of an underrated one, personally.
Facts. It's always, I feel like it always used to be quite high on the overtakes chart because of that fucking 3 mile back straight that they had over there.
Yeah. And turn one, you know, when you go to like an arcade and you've got that thing where you put a coin in and it goes round and round and round. Is that one of them? It's like,
you know, the one that McDonald's they used to have. Yeah. And you used to try and get something out, like a toy out of
it. It had character.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. I think it had a lot of unique turns and a lot of unique sort of characteristics. Definitely. Hopefully we'll be back there soon.
We'll see.
So I can see Guan Yu Zhou as well.
Yeah.
In the
home
flesh.
Race.
Yeah.
He deserves it. He deserves
a home Grand Prix. But how's life? How are we doing?
Good. It's starting to warm up. I don't know how you're wearing the 165th floor hoodie, which is a banging hoodie, by the way.
Rapping.
But it's warm. It's toasty.
Next question. Yeah. It is warm. I was out before this and then went back home, but I left the house in the morning in a coat. And I didn't do my research. I didn't check my mirrors. So I went out in this coat and was like, it was not the one. I can't believe it's actually, we've got that bipolar British weather back, which is great.
Well, look, at least now that it's sunny, you can maybe sit in your back garden on your balcony, wherever, and read a certain new book that's just dropped.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
I don't know if it's dropped publicly, but I know journos have had their greedy little mitts on it.
Okay, yeah. They've got the reviews in.
From whose book? And what's it called, Niren?
Yeah, it's Mr. Gunter Steiner, all right, the head honcho at Haas. And it's called Surviving to Drive. Of course, a play on Drive to Survive.
Do you reckon Netflix had words about that? Do you reckon that would be an issue with it?
I feel like there was a bit of a trade-off. I feel like it was like, maybe. You know what, lads? I give you content.
He's given them a lot of content.
I give you memes.
Yeah.
So I'm having the name. Do you know what I mean? They just did like a silent little sort of backhanded deal about it all. But it makes a lot less sense to me as a title. Surviving to then... It almost feels like driving is then an afterthought after the surviving
part. And he's not even
the
one driving.
Exactly. Yeah, he's just overseeing the survival, to be honest. So,
overseeing the survival to someone else drive. Yeah,
that, to be fair, doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Do you reckon?
But he, regardless of the name being potentially problematic, what he said in it is outrageous as well.
Which, I mean, doesn't overly surprise me given Gunter's track record.
Yeah, we know what he's,
outrageous words coming out of his mouth. But he's been quite, some would say certainly harsh on Mick. We've had comments that have been taken from the book and put forward by media. A few little, he starts one of the sections regarding Mick with, and now we get on to Mick Jesus.
Yeah, actually spelt like that, by the way, as well.
J-E-E-Z-O-Z, and where do I start?
Yeah.
And essentially saying that, because 2021, when he was alongside Mazepin in Haas, wasn't great from a, you know, he firmly had the measure over Mazepin, but he did have a lot of shunts. However,
For me, that's a write-off though, because the car was so bad and so temperamental.
Exactly. And so, rookie year, you kind of have to give a bit of concession to that anyway. They weren't developing that car mid-season.
Exactly.
Well. But then obviously go on to 2022, and he said after the Monaco crash, which was his second high profile crash of the year, Saudi was the first.
That was third Grand Prix, wasn't it? Saudi.
And then Monaco just caught the damp stuff into the wall, split the chassis in half. And that was the one.
I do feel bad for him though, because I remember watching an accident, or I was watching a race and...
Not just the accident.
Yeah, I didn't just switch on, boom, oh my God. It was weird because the camera went to obviously miss the actual crash happen. And I saw it and was like, oh my God. He split the car in half. How is he even, like, this must have been the biggest accident of all time. But it was just quite unlucky the way that, the impact happened. But I don't know. I feel like for a lot of the grief that Mick gets, I know he made some high profile errors. I know there was the crash in Japan at one point during practice.
Yes.
At
the end of practice.
At the end of practice. Yeah. There was obviously, Saudi Arabia. There was Monaco. Mm. There was another massive one in Saudi Arabia in his first season. But I'm not going to lie, I wasn't paying attention to Haas every single Grand Prix and going the deltas between him and Magnussen or whatever. But I feel like some of the treatment and some of what he's got from Gunther has been a little bit harsh.
Yeah.
I feel like it just comes back to the overall cost of the accidents. But
look, I understand. I think now Nico Hülkenberg has already, somewhat proven that the right decision for that team specifically, a team like Haas, which is just getting to the budget cap. It hasn't got this massive backlog of resource and a big facility that they can kind of compensate for having shunts. That's going to hurt them. Writing off a chassis is going to hurt Haas more than it would hurt Ferrari or Mercedes or Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like, proportionally, it's going to hurt them more. So I understand making that decision. But I think the way, we had quotes, a few weeks ago, wasn't it, saying, I think from Toto Wolff, saying that he doesn't think Haas would have treated Mick the way they did if Mick's dad was still around and was supporting his career.
Yeah.
Because obviously the weight that comes with Michael Schumacher and the support that he would have given, which I think, to be honest, was quite a fair point, because certainly from an outside fan perspective looking in, it didn't feel like, as much as Mick was making mistakes and was, from a fan point of view, I think it merited criticism for sure. I think how you manage that from a team, so much of this sport is in your head.
Mental,
And if you lose that momentum, because Mick pace-wise wasn't a mile off of Magnussen last year. If you look at the qualifying deltas, there wasn't much in it.
Yeah.
However, Magnussen has tons more experience. He's been in the sport since, 2013? So what do you kind of expect if you're not going to put your arm around him and give him the confidence? Because, there's a reason that Ralf Schumacher's been spitting lots of bars against Günther Steiner over the last year.
Ralf Schumacher spits a lot of bars anyway.
Yeah, man.
He gets involved. He gets amongst.
Yeah, he's not afraid. and that wouldn't happen, surely, if Mick was getting the support he needed.
Yeah. Man, honestly, if he was getting Michael's support as well during that time, Günther Steiner would have been slide tackled, I reckon, at some point during.
I reckon Gene would have replaced Günther with Michael.
Yeah.
You know?
That would have held a lot of weight, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, of course it would.
I feel like Haas is just not the environment necessarily for a younger driver to get that proper coaching and arm around them, just because it's not the type. I don't know Günther Steiner as a man, but it's not the type of team principal that he is known to be, because he's coming out and slamming his driver in a book a year later.
Well, Haas and AlphaTauri in that respect, I think, are very different, because AlphaTauri, that's an extension of Red Bull.
Yeah.
They can rely on the parent brand. The whole point of that team originally was to facilitate young drivers coming through. Verstappen used to shunt loads in his early career, because he pushed those boundaries and now he's a better driver for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Haas aren't a team that will allow that. And rightly so, because they don't have that resource. They can't afford to let drivers make loads of mistakes, loads of incidents. In the book, right? So Günther says that Mick was unable to appreciate the gravity of the situation after Monaco.
Yeah.
So unable to appreciate... he felt like Mick's attitude towards that crash was
a bit blasé, maybe, yeah.
Well, then you need to you need to make sure he knows, like, surely that's your job as a team principal going into the season to be like, right, look, we're Haas, we're in our situation, like, we get you're a young driver, but also it's exponentially more important to us that you don't write off a chassis.
Yeah.
Because that's going to hurt us more. Surely that's his job, no?
Yeah, exactly. He has to make his drivers aware of, like, what the deal is.
Yeah.
And obviously, yeah, you know, you can't necessarily account for, you can't stop a man from crashing at any point during the season.
Mm.
You know, you're not going to go, you're not allowed to crash the car. It happens. Yeah. But at least if he understands, because clearly he didn't understand. I was wondering, like, if you're Mick Schumacher reading some of those excerpts, like, what are you thinking?
I mean, I think Mick's kind of, he's at Mercedes now. He's got that support from the Mercedes family and Toto. I don't think he's too, I mean, that relationship is definitely, like, there's burning your bridges and then there's, like, like both sides, I think, like, amicably, that did not work from either side, either point of view, which is a shame, you know, it's a shame, but I guess I think hopefully Gunther will learn from this. And again, I guess that's why they've gone so opposite to what they did with in 2021 with Schumacher and Mazepin.
Yeah.
Now they've gone totally opposite with arguably, average age on the grid? The oldest, surely.
I mean,
they're both.
I mean, Hulkenberg.
Magnussen's like 30 now. Hulkenberg's like 30.
Fernando Alonso might drag Aston Martin up there, to be fair.
But Lance is still like 24.
Oh my God, he is, isn't he? Because he started when he was like 18.
Yeah,
so he's like 24, 25 now.
It's a bit. Also,
Hulkenberg's like 50. Sorry, Nico. I'm sorry.
He looks good for 50.
He does.
There's a, what was it? Researching for my video that I'm putting out tomorrow. Actually, another interesting one regarding Haas.
Yeah.
Apparently, so in 2016, Charles Leclerc won GP3 ahead of Alex Albon. But Alex got more wins.
Just to add to that.
Just saying. And apparently, Haas had the opportunity to sign Charles Leclerc for 2017.
Yeah, because he was testing with them loads, wasn't he?
He was testing with them loads in 2016, but they turned it down.
Why?
I guess they wanted to. I mean, Charles ended up doing F2, didn't he?
Straight off the back of GP3.
They could have,
To be fair, that is a bit sort of.
Yeah. Which, I mean, in hindsight, is that much of an L?
It's not an L, but it wouldn't have been the same Charles Leclerc that they got.
Yeah, true.
Like, the Leclerc that we got after the F2 championship was like supreme because he just absolutely obliterated everyone in Formula 2. And like shown like how good he was. His confidence must have been like an all-time high after the F2 win in comparison to maybe the GP3 one.
Yeah, because it was 2017 Haas, it was their decision between Magnussen, who they took in the end from Renault,
and
Leclerc, seemingly, and they went with Magnussen, which I get it. But obviously you look at Charles Leclerc now.
But yeah, that is crazy. That's really peak if you're low-key. If you look like with the power of hindsight... Because who else has anyone ever done GP? Kvyat was like the only person I can think of that's done like GP3 straight.
Yeah, he won GP3. Max didn't even win F3. GP3 or whatever it was.
He didn't even do GP3. He just went straight into.
Yeah, well, so yeah, he came third to Ocon in 2015 in GP3 and then went straight into the Toro Rosso.
Yeah.
Because Red Bull were like, we need to snap up this kid before Mercedes. Also, talking of Charles, I wanted to ask, do we think that his contract ends at the end of next season?
Yeah.
Yes. So this is the kind of time, surely.
The answer's already yes.
this must be the time where, like, you know, Fred Vasseur is like kind of, come on, Charles, come and sign, dotted line.
Yeah. You got a nice little sign-on bonus.
What are you doing? If you're Charles Leclerc right now, and you know your Ferrari career is potentially ending
at
the end of next season...
Mm-hmm.
These conversations, again, are going to be happening now.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm making Freddie Boy sweat. I'm waiting as long as humanly possible to see how this season goes and then even develop into next season.
That's right. I'm professor.
That's a good
we'll give you a 17-year deal at Ferrari.
17.
You sign? Oui? No? Oui? Oui? Yeah, sign.
I would backhand you. Is that allowed? That's not really allowed in contract negotiations.
I reckon Charles could get away with a backhand.
I think he could. He's got that sweet persona in it. He got one backhand in probably all right. A 17-year deal, probably not. To be honest,
because for real, right? If you take away obviously the Schumacher domination using Ferrari, incredible. Outside of that, what have Ferrari really done? Like, they've got all this history in the sport. No, like, for real though. Like, the, what can I say? The...
No, I hear this. Should we just grill them? Should we just grill them? No, for 20 minutes? I back it.
They've been here since 19 fucking 50.
Yeah.
Like, what, like 73 years.
Yeah.
And they've, like, for the name that Ferrari is.
They're just age merchants, bro. They've just been here for time.
They're like, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah.
Really? Like, I get, like, it means so much, right? And that's one thing, right? There's lots of teams that mean a lot. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what sport.
Yeah.
West Ham means a lot to me. We're still fucking shit. Like,
yeah,
I can appreciate
exactly.
that.
There's like non-league teams that have been out for like 100 years.
Yeah. They've got big support.
We want them to stay. Like, yeah. But, they're not in, I don't know. It's
like, I just think if safe, like obviously there's so many drivers that are coming up, you know, there's always going to be talk around Fernando and Lewis because of their age. Like, there's always going to be this conversation now till the end of their careers.
Yeah.
You know, Charles Leclerc, you got to think that I just don't think Ferrari's the place, surely.
Listen, it's one of those where he is just going to... Because you get like a driver power situation. It's like, I always fucking just do football comparisons on this show. But it's like when you've got a player that's like 6 months away from his contract ending. He has the power now.
Yeah.
Because he can leave on a free at the end of the season and you get no money for him. Or, okay, cool, yeah, if you can convince me, whatever, da 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 da.
Yeah.
If I'm Charles, I would genuinely consider doing that. Because I suppose the only thing is, where would he go?
Yeah, so much of it, F1 is for sure, like, where opportunities arise.
Yeah.
And it's playing, it's making the right move at the right time. And I think, you know, he's done enough to show that he's a top, like him and Max, for me, are the two quickest at the moment in Formula One, like over a lap for sure. Like, I think there's very little in it. I just think Max is that bit more of a complete driver right now. But look, I think he's done everything he can to put himself front and center in the shop window. I mean, maybe it's Mercedes because of the... Yeah, at least Mercedes have done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Ferrari haven't done it for like so long now. It's like 15 years since they won a driver's title. Like it's been so long since they've done it. No, 16 since they won a driver's, 15 since they won a constructor. So it's like, I don't know. I think if I was Charles, like, and I had a choice between Ferrari and potentially a Mercedes seat that, you know, I'd gamble with Mercedes personally.
Yeah.
I would.
There's recent history, like Ferrari have history,
which is more important,
undoubtedly. Yeah, because ultimately you're thinking about this from the perspective.
Guess who won the first F1 World Title ever?
Who?
Alfa Romeo. Well, where are they now?
Oh, like, shit! So you're saying he should go to Alfa Romeo?
Yeah, go to Alfa Romeo because they were sick in 1950. Yeah. Right? Legacy. Carry on. Sorry.
I back it. But in your own career, you can't go, oh yeah, but like, in the grand scheme of history, this team have been good. No, in your career history, what are they saying? And if they're, you know, I don't know. Obviously, look, Ferrari is still a big team and they still, you know, they challenge for...
Yeah.
They're challenging for podiums every Grand Prix. Last season, literally as recently as last season, they were challenging for wins on a regular basis. But from a perspective of a man who's going to be... approaching his prime relatively soon, this next contract is pretty important, probably the most easily the most important contract he's signed so far. He has to have assurances from Ferrari that it's going to be better.
This next one is the Lewis Hamilton to Mercedes move.
Yes. Yeah.
You know
yeah
I mean? In terms of like same
career
kind
point.
Of age. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
It is.
Look, there's no, this is the thing. There's plenty of examples of contracts and team changes going wrong. We actually saw on the Track Limits podcast, Daniel Kvyat was on there. Really interesting. So, wind back to 2015.
Yeah.
Red Bull.
Yeah.
Kvyat, Ricciardo.
Mm-hmm.
Who scored more points?
Kvyat.
He did.
Daniel.
Outscored Daniel. Daniel.
Daniel.
Outscored Daniel.
Daniel.
Who, and then Daniel would beaten Vettel the year prior in 2014.
Yeah. So, Daniel Kvyat is better than Sebastian Vettel.
Well, look. I mean, I'm not saying that. You said that.
We didn't want to say it. We didn't want to say it, but we had to.
You look at Daniel Kvyat, fantastic season 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, according to him, he had an offer from Ferrari to replace Kimi Raikkonen.
Right.
To go alongside Vettel
for
2016 at Ferrari. And he said no. And then four races into 20...
He got demoted to Toro Rosso after Spain.
After
before Spain.
Torpedoing Vettel.
Yep. The irony of it all.
Well, the China one was harsh. Was that that season? No.
It was. No.
Was it that season?
Yeah, it was that season.
Because that actually, that
one was crazy.
But Russia was mad.
Yeah, Russia was harsh.
When
hang on. Which way round was it? Was
China was harsh.
Yes.
I think Daniel was like perfectly within his rights to be where he was. And kind of squeezed him.
He
a
did
bit
just drive into the back of Seb at Russia.
Yes.
On that left hander, wasn't it?
So within four races, if you're going to count, like, look at the end of, he went from offer at Ferrari to replace Raikkonen alongside Vettel, said, no thanks, I'm going to stay at Red Bull. Didn't think about Max Verstappen waiting in the wings, who then replaced him instead of Ricciardo, because again, Kvyat had definitely the weaker start.
That might be the worst contract of all time. That contract decision of all time. I'm going to be honest.
You think like,
because from that moment,
think of the knock-on effect.
Yeah. But from that moment, that was a career that went from like actually promising in a car that could win races to, yeah, now you're just Toro Rosso fodder for like the next 3 years and you're out.
Yeah, because
like, that's actually a turning point.
Like, he was in Toro Rosso, then he was out for a bit, and then he came back and Because I don't know if you remember the press conference in Spain before the race where they had Verstappen in the Red Bull gear, Kvyat in the Toro Rosso gear. And like, understandably at the time,
they're
like,
criminals Kvyat, for that, by the way.
Kvyat, yeah, it's hard. And they were like asking other drivers, what do you think? Mm. Like, Fernando's just sitting there with like a big grin on his face, just like loving the shit out of his rhythm. But it's like, Kvyat, like, understandably, Kvyat was like pissed, and you can see he was
upset. Yeah.
But like, now knowing this, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, this is a Ferrari that became like, that challenged the Mercedes in 17 and 18 as well.
But you know what I'm thinking? So for this, was this for the 2016 season off the back of 2015?
I believe so. Yeah. From what he said.
That's actually quite a surprise. Like, because if it was off the back of an earlier season where Ferrari, you know, they had that like grim nose in front. Yeah. Fair enough. Ferrari were nowhere. That car was shit.
Yeah.
But they actually kind of got a grip of themselves by the time he was getting that contract offer. It was probably quite level, no?
Well, yeah.
Ferrari and Red Bull were like level pegging, and then Williams as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of them where like at the time you can kind of understand why he didn't take the Ferrari offer. Because he'd just beaten Ricciardo.
Yeah.
And he would have at least considered himself as good as Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Felt like he was comfortable. We'd got, you know, a bunch of podiums. So in hindsight, it's very easy to look back and like think, which obviously it was a bad decision in hindsight, clearly. But Kvyat went on to be like a Ferrari kind of, I think he's doing some...
Yeah, he was doing Ferrari testing, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So he went to have a relationship with them anyway. But I'm trying to think any other like really stinky moves. In like, because I remember when... Well, I don't remember. I was six. when Jacques Villeneuve went from Williams, where he won the title,
To BAR. That might be the worst. That was sort of like, I want to build my own team.
Yeah.
Make it amazing. And then like the first season he went there, he didn't finish like the first 10 races of the season.
Yeah, it was important.
Like the car just kept blowing up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that probably is the worst. Like going from winning a championship and just like, yeah, cool, my engine. Yeah, that was strike really every.
Have you got any other ones that come to mind?
I mean, there's the obvious, your obvious sort of like Alonso, Ricciardo ones. I mean,
which Alonso one would you say is the? Because he's there were quotes from Alonso earlier this week, so kind of because he said like when he had his time out of F1, like he won Le Mans, like he has achieved things outside of F1, so he thinks he gets unfairly criticised for his career decision.
Yeah, he probably does a little bit because again, it's all hindsight, but.
The benefit of hindsight. What's the stinkiest one from Alonso though? Because obviously
it's got to be McLaren, hasn't it?
Back to Renault.
It's McLaren back to Renault was poor.
Yeah.
There was an element of me that understood it at the time.
And I don't think that relationship was tenable anymore after.
Oh yeah, no, he couldn't stay at McLaren.
Yeah.
So he had to go somewhere and he'd obviously won two championships with Renault. So it made like a lot of sense, but obviously Renault weren't where they were in the years prior. I think the stinkiest has to be McLaren Honda. It has to be.
Well, when he went from Ferrari to...
Yeah.
Yeah, because you look at what Ferrari, again, same with Kvyat, like what that team went on to achieve, how close Vettel was, you know, getting to Lewis in 17.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the laughing stock ultimately that McLaren was in the time that he drove there.
You know what one as well? Because I know obviously Ricciardo gets stick for leaving Red Bull in the first place, which look, I understood that move, but I think the him going from Renault to McLaren,
yeah,
I think was.
But I also understood.
Why though?
No, because Renault.
I never really understood it.
I think it ultimately came down to a sidestep. I think that was a legacy decision again. I think that was one of those where it was like, look, listen. McLaren are traditionally a big team.
Yeah.
They're on the rise a little bit again. Let me just move over there and like hopefully like I think he was looking at it from the perspective of can I win a championship with Renault as they are right now? No. But could I maybe win a championship in 3 years or not well, challenge for a championship, challenge for wins a McLaren team that's growing in 3 years?
Maybe. Yeah.
In the moment I think he knew it was a sidestep. But I think he was hoping that the potential of McLaren was higher. And in the end, they both just sort of balanced out.
Because I guess, look, yeah, McLaren won a race in 2021 and they were the third best team in 2020.
Yeah.
So I guess from that point of view, yeah, could Ricciardo have possibly... It was a wrong move. It was a wrong move for him.
Yeah.
With his specific... Yeah, the nuances skills. To his style.
Yeah.
Right, which didn't work with McLaren. But clearly, like, at Renault, he was unreal. Mm-hmm. In 2019, he was sick. Him and Checo, it was nuts.
Yeah.
In that four seat, like, they were so good. Like, they put themselves front and centre. But yeah, I think now knowing this about... I do wonder how many... Because, like, Kvyat's never, like, announced this.
There must be so many more stories like this.
Yeah.
Of someone who turned down going to a team that then absolutely battered the championship the next season.
I'm trying to think which ones could have possibly, like... Who had a really good season?
I reckon David Coulthard's fuming low-key.
What? Because...
Retired from Red Bull and then the next season they were just sick immediately.
Yeah.
I'd be fuming. I'd have been like, look, listen, I appreciate the retirement party, everyone. Thanks for the pension. But let me just... For this season, I want to come back. I want to win things. Yeah, because it felt like he just did all the dirty work in terms of like, you know, when Red Bull were in the mid-pack and then left and then they were amazing.
I remember when Webber left... Jaguar to Williams, and that was just as Red Bull took over Jaguar, so then he ended up going back.
Yeah,
but if it had been at Red Bull from like day dot, which he could have been if he'd taken Jag, then that could have maybe ended up a bit differently for him. I reckon he could have got a world title considering how close he got in that first in 2010.
Yeah, but he was always against Vettel though, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because Vettel came out of nowhere. He only led that 2010 championship last race.
Yeah, last race. Yeah,
that was a pretty mad one. But yeah, let us know if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching on Apple Podcast, Spotify. If you're listening, and can comment. Let us know what are your maddest, worst transfers.
Well, yeah, what is the worst Formula One contract decision of all time?
What's the stinkiest?
The stinkiest,
because there's plenty of stinkers for sure.
There are some howlers out there. I'm not going to lie to you.
We also want to talk about. Words that certain Mr. Stefano Domenicali has been talking, as he does.
Mr. 30 Grand Prix a season.
Yes. And he's said that historic F1 tracks are not guaranteed a place in the sport, which obviously implies, you know, tracks like Spa, which has been talked about a lot recently in terms of could be at risk. Do we think F1 needs to make a conscious effort to guarantee the future of these tracks? Because I somewhat understand, because I don't think, you know, if you run an Imola or a Spa or one of these legacy tracks, I don't think in this day and age of Formula One, you can afford to just like sit back. Yeah, you come to us, yeah?
Yeah. There's too much interest now.
I think that's arrogant.
Yeah.
I do think that's arrogant. I think the tracks need to adapt. But I don't see why the tracks can't adapt, because the fan base is bigger than ever. They're going to sell out, sending out all over the world.
Yeah.
So why can't Spa do what they need to do to make that? Because it's a legacy. Everyone wins, right?
You know how you have in the UK, you've got listed buildings here? Where if you're like a developer, you can't just go, oh, okay, I'm going to knock this place down.
Yeah.
Everyone will go, no, it's a listed building. Listed Formula One tracks. There should be tracks where over like a 20-year period, you can't just go, yeah, now we can't run there anymore.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. Because for me, if Formula One, let's say in 10 years, Formula One had sacked off Spa, had sacked off Monza, we're already not going to places like Nürburgring, Hockenheim, whatever. That is like a huge, that's a huge level of history that's gone.
Yeah.
And ultimately these are good tracks. I know like there's been like discourse about whether Spa is actually good because we've had a few stinkers there recently, but that happens at every track. You know, you're going to get, you could get two teams that play against each other. I'm not going to use a football analogy this time. Two rugby teams that score like 50 points a match and then they come together and it's dead. It is what it is. That happens in sport. You're not going to get amazing.
Yeah, with Spa, sometimes you have like weather.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Works.
Yeah, you know, it's same with Monza, less so the weather, but you tend to get some crazy races there. And I'm looking at some of the tracks that have been introduced to Formula One in recent years, and I'm going, what do they really add apart from a paycheck and another area of the globe that we've like kind of unlocked?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Qatar going, what actually does Qatar offer?
Yeah.
As a racetrack, forget all the politics, forget about the stuff we were talking about when the World Cup went there. Mm. As a track, it's not a good Formula One track. It's far too narrow. It's a MotoGP track.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's not a Formula One track, and we're there for like 9 years. Mm. We're already in Saudi Arabia, and I know, calm, not every part of the world it should be limited.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's a one Grand Prix that's really Eurocentric, but like, that as a track offers nothing. Mm. So if you were to say, oh, right, we're getting rid of Spa to make space for Qatar, you're blandening the calendar just factually, because you're not going to get as good a race.
Yeah, because like, you can have new circuits. Again, I think Jeddah has been all in all a pretty big success
as a track.
As a track.
Massively, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think the quality of racing we've got, not just in F1 and F2, and you know, I think it's certainly delivered. And yeah, I think what, you know, if we're going to be expanding the calendar, if we're going to have 24 races, if we're going to, you know, that number will probably trickle up even more over the next
years. Yeah.
Like, I'm all for, I don't want every single track to be like a legacy historic.
No, it doesn't need to be.
Otherwise,
we might as well go back to the 80s.
Exactly. I'm all for Monaco. I'm all for like Miami. I'm all for Saudi, these different circuits, these different interpretations of what an F1 track can be. But like, that's always been the case.
Just, I mean, not Sochi. Sochi was shit, bruv.
It was so bad. And like, they could have done anything.
Yeah.
Like, they had that whole facility.
Yeah, right? that's a howler. Like,
you could say the same about Abu Dhabi. They've kind of improved Abu Dhabi now, but it was a bit dead when that dropped.
Yeah.
But I just think, like,
it dropped.
I like the, this is why I'm very much like, I want Monaco, just mandated two stop. I want Monaco on the calendar because it's something different. It's totally different. And that's fine. And that's good. Like, if you're going to go all the around the world and you're going to have this diversity of types of tracks, like, in types of locations, then also have that diversity in the types of circuits where you're going to have like high altitude, where, you know, the teams like Red Bull have always done well there, because when they had their shit Renault engines, you know, that hurt them more on more conventional, like, lower altitude tracks.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt them much there. And their aero could, like, that's cool. Like, that's what we want. We don't want, like, 24 cookie cutter tracks.
Yeah.
And I think having those different challenges, like, certain drivers, Checo always excels on street circuits. There's something about it.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. But again, I think the way it's being communicated from like Stefano and just the way this news is getting out there is quite dismissive, and maybe even a bit, I'd say, disrespectful of like the established F1 families. Mm. It's all just talking about, you know, expanding the calendar, money. It's like, well, why? Like, if you don't make the core fan base feel confident and trusting in what you're doing, you've got nothing. If you don't have that core fan base, the sport's got no soul.
Yeah, that's the last thing that you want. Because F1 obviously is growing so like exponentially at the moment. I think just having that communication of why we're going to a track is good. Mm. And I think just having that representation is important as well. Like we've said, we need a Grand Prix in Africa,
I think,
for example.
Kyle Army seems to maybe be back on the potential.
Back on the cards.
But again, then, like for example, right? Would you take Kyle Army if it meant losing Spa? See, right now, honestly, it's not going to be popular, but I would. I don't think Spa's necessarily doing enough in terms of the quality of racing. Yeah. And if they are going to be just like, oh, we're Spa, we're like owed a race.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear that. It should never be like that.
And Kyle Army has its own heritage. It has its own history in Formula One. Yeah. If it was a second Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, for example.
A
made track. No, keep Spa for sure. But I think Kyle Army's got a lot to offer, and it's catering to a region that's not had F1 for, you know, 30 plus years.
Yeah, exactly. That is actually a really difficult question, to be fair, because I've always been a bit of a Spa defender. Because I know we've had some stinkers. I know. Yeah. I think the last four Spas. Oh, do you remember the one where Leclerc went flying over Alonso?
Oh my goodness!
But that race was shit.
Yeah,
that was the only thing that happened. That whole race, like, it was literally lap one, and then obviously so many cars were out. Yeah. It was just a wrap from that point onwards. I think that was the first of the stinkers, and every single one since then has been kind of average. So I do hear it. I think. But again, Spa offers something different. That is a unique circuit in its own right. Yep. In the elevation changes, stuff like Rouge, like probably the most legendary corner on the whole calendar, realistically. Mm. The weather changes.
You're not wrong.
It is a tough one. It is a tough one. But yeah, I tell you what, lads. Oh my God, I've worked it out. Fuck Catalunya. Get that out of there. Oh my God. Let's just test, bro. If people from Spain want to watch Formula One, I'm sorry, if the Spanish population, make a new track. Build a better track.
Let's talk about Madrid. Let's talk about
Madrid.
Fine,
honestly, do anything other. Bring that Valencia street track that's like abandoned in everyone's YouTube videos. Like, just go unabandon that track and go there.
That's
please.
Too far gone, man. I've been there. It's too far gone.
It's a stinker. It's really bad. It looks like, genuinely, it looks like...
That's so sad.
It looks like a Call of Duty map. It's shocking.
Rust 3.
Yeah, Rust 3. Facts, mate. The trilogy. Yeah, no.
And you know what, actually, because Carlos is from Madrid, I think, and then Fernando's from Oviedo, which is more that kind of region of Spain.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'd be happy to see Madrid. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I want to see Catalunya. We're going to see it this year without that final chicane.
I'm telling you now, it's still going to be bad.
It's
going to look nicer aesthetically because they're going through two quick corners at the end, but it's still going to be bad, you know?
Right. So what else? Catalunya and Spa are both very good racing tracks, but they're not great for F1.
No.
Because I think F1's got very specific, like, you look at, you know, touring cars, GTs, there's less dirty air.
Yeah.
There's more close racing. When it comes to the type of racing we get with F1, you need a really certain type of track to exploit and to allow those types of cars to race.
Imagine,
the high speed in Catalunya just kind of...
Yeah, it's almost like there's too much flow at Catalunya because like every single corner is a bit sweepy and you just can't follow anyone like that. You know, that right hander where you go up the hill.
Yeah.
Like that's... But that back straight is usually like an overtaking opportunity anywhere else or any other type of racing. But because of... Formula One's dirty air, that right-hander just kills it. Mm. The same with the main straight. The chicane killed it, but the two quick right-handers will kill it as well. You might get one or two more overtakes, but I genuinely... Two quick right-handers is going to... You're not going to be able to follow people through there, like, too closely, I don't think.
The thing is, though, like, you know, I hope you're wrong as well. Should we be changing the calendar and changing the tracks based off... these cars not being able to follow properly, or should we be changing? Like, because they've already done something to somewhat like reduce the dirty air.
Yeah.
But apparently that's starting to creep in a little bit more now with these cars versus last year. So, you know, do we like tracks like Mugello, right? I thought Mugello was like, from a driver's point of view, which only these 20 drivers have that point of view.
Yeah.
But they love it, right?
Yeah.
And it's very flowy, it's very sweeping. It's kind of similar to Catalunya in that way.
Yeah.
But like, I want to see a track like Mugello, like over Imola personally, on the grid. But then if it's going to be like pretty dead racing, because Mugello, there's like one overtaking opportunity.
Yeah.
Catalunya, I'd say maybe there's two. Like you got turn one, and then you got the run where Hamilton crashed into Rosberg. You can make moves there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think... And ultimately, they're not going to make these... They're going to try and do what they can to adapt these tracks and make and appease us as like hardcore racing fans.
Yeah,
and appease. But ultimately, business will decide where we go.
No, facts. No, I hear that. It was just more of a plea than anything. I wasn't really expecting anything. I beg. Just please, Catalonia, just fix up. Just do something. Just one overtaken area would be great. Like, honestly.
Well, I have another plea as well because...
Oh my God, DRS everywhere.
Ooh.
Just open DRS wherever you like, even through the corners. It's just it's always open.
Fuck downforce. So it needs a downforce.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what needs wins for, man.
Yeah, man. Drifting tires.
Well, look, I've got another plea. A plea right. to F1 and a plea to Lewis Hamilton, who is, I believe, co-producing this F1 movie.
XMDA. Oh, sorry.
You're not meant to tell everyone that's his real. That's his alias.
Yeah.
This F1 movie, if you haven't heard, F1, there's going to be a movie with Brad Pitt starring. Domenicali's been talking about it.
Yeah. Okay, so Domenicali's in it then.
Nice. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
He's just shave his head, he'll be like Vin Diesel.
Definitely the type of person to want to be in it.
Yeah, like cameo in the back. Yeah, oh, yeah, there'll be some cameos, definitely.
Oh, yeah, facts.
I just really hope it's not shit.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about it being really bad.
Yeah, no, same.
You know what I mean? Because it's like big budget movie, big like Hollywood star. I'm really worried about it being cringe.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there's going to be a love story in there. There's no need for there to be a love story.
Yeah. There's like, one of the women that does like, I don't know, one of the female characters in the film that does like the strategy for like the team that the main protagonist is fighting in the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah.
They like bump into each other in the media pen outside and then they're suddenly like, oh my God, yo, this is crazy.
And then
he picks up her notes for her and then they start going on dates, but they're not really allowed to go and like mingle with the opposition because they're in like a dog fight for the championship.
Final race of the season.
And coincidentally, the driver that she does the media work for hates the main protagonist. They have a rivalry already, and now his co-worker is getting freaky with the main protagonist.
I'm lost. I can't lie to you.
Sorry,
I lost you halfway through. But you know what? Maybe it's good.
Listen. Sign me up. If anyone needs any scriptwriters, I'm here. I've got a plot for you guys. It's fine.
How do you feel like? How can they make this good, right? Because you've got Drive to Survive has done bits, of course. You've got F1's new deal, Paramount Plus. That's a streaming service. Man,
I'm just thinking about how mad this film could be.
No, but like, what do they need to do? What do you think they need to do to make this film good? Because like, obviously they want to appeal to a broader audience.
Yeah.
Fine. But also, obviously, we're as F1 fans going to watch it, and we're going to have it more under a microscope.
Yeah,
like can they appease both? I suppose that's the question.
They actually can. Because I think because a few content creators that we all know and love have done videos where they've like reviewed some of these like racing films or Formula One esque films
that have come out in the past.
And I saw Daniel Ricciardo. He went on GQ, didn't he, and was like talking about. Like NASCAR films, IndyCar films
as well.
Yeah. And a lot of them are like painfully unrealistic. I don't need to see like a Don in the wind tunnel, like doing mad data halfway through the film. I don't need that level of realism.
That's on the keyboard.
Yeah.
All the numbers are coming.
All the numbers and they're actually accurate numbers. I don't care. We don't care. But what does need to be like realistic is what you're seeing in terms of like the little action shots, you know, when races are happening and stuff like that. When I've seen films like that, it's always so unbelievably unrealistic. Like the cars don't move the way they're meant to, or the overtakes are just like shit. Stuff like that, if you can get that right, you'll actually appease both. Because the casual person watching it will watch it and go, oh, this is crazy and wild, regardless of whether it's realistic or not.
Yeah.
So if you then actually just make it slightly realistic, then F1 fans will go, oh, mad, that does look like an overtake that would happen out on a track. Well, that's when you get really cringe stuff. It's when it's just like painfully sort of, I don't know,
dramatized,
and like
it's not a realistic portrayal because the sport's exciting enough that they don't need to do.
Don't need it. That's the thing. You actually make it look worse when you try and do stuff like that because it's calm as it is.
Because then when people like say that gets someone in who becomes a new fan and then starts to educate themselves more, then they'll look back and be like, "What the fuck was that?" Like?
Yeah.
Well, remember we had Alex Jakes on, right? And he was saying in his job, the dream for him is to do the commentary
yeah.
in such a way that he sneaks in the explanation without the hardcore viewers realizing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what this movie needs to do. It needs to explain the sport in such a way that it makes it appealing to anyone, but it needs to appease us hardcore fans
and
not like mud it down so much, I guess. Because, I mean, they're starting filming fairly soon, I think, Silverstone and Dominic.
I'm guessing they'll be going to Grand Prix and getting like background footage and stuff like that. Or not background footage, but filming stuff
in
the paddock and things like that. See, that's good.
Yeah.
I think when you start doing your own thing and you're hiring bare extras and stuff, to try and like recreate a pattern, that's when it's going to look like just
mad CGI.
It's just going to look. Yeah,
you can see the green screen from a mile off.
Yeah,
you
that's when it's going to look
peed out the hair.
Your hair,
they'd have a nightmare.
This is a disaster because there's like gaps in between.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Curly hair,
well, the little flecks of green.
Yeah, exactly.
Picked up by it. But I mean, we haven't got a title. We haven't got a release date for the movie.
Do you know who else is in? Is there like any other talk of who else is in the cast?
I've only heard Brad Pitt.
Okay, so. If you were to cast a film about Formula One, yeah? Okay. So I'm guessing Brad Pitt is the main character. I think that's a fair assumption, right?
Yeah, the main driver.
Let's be real, there's going to be a villain. Like I said, the driver that he's going up against, who's PR woman, is the love interest.
Ray Winston,
that's what you're going for. I hear it.
But in play now.
Yeah, he's the mature driver. He's
in the
They'll try and play it down. Like, oh, he's 41, like Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that is return from a sabbatical. Like,
yeah.
Eventually, one day.
Yeah, yeah, he's back.
No. Oh my God, Ray Winston, Zach Brown.
Oh yeah. What, Ray Winston as the team principal?
Yeah, he's the Zach Brown.
Yeah, facts.
He's the equivalent to Zach Brown.
Yeah, Ray Winston can be the team principal.
He would be like. I think they look a bit alike.
A little bit.
They don't sound alike.
No,
I think maybe Ray Winston trying to do Zach Brown's accent. I mean,
you don't even need him to do the accent.
Yeah,
he could just be like some proper
geezer,
whatever. Sort of stumbled into a role of like being a team principal. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, maybe, you know, Herbert and DeResta aren't doing Sky anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe DeResta, like. Everyone's like, oh, he didn't like Hamilton,
the
apparently.
Rest
and
the
like,
main
he's
villain.
The antagonist.
Oh, my days. We've worked it out. That would be a bit of a disappointment, really, in terms of like, a multi-billion-pound film.
Yeah.
Listen, Paul, we love you.
I love you, Paul, but
he's not an actor.
I don't think. You know,
get him involved, though. Get him involved. He could be one of the pundits or something. Like, they cross to at various points. Do you get me? Like,
I really hope, because Johnny Herbert's not doing Sky anymore, and that's really sad for me, because I love Johnny. So hopefully he gets a feature in it. Do you reckon, because, look, my biggest hope is that because Lewis is taking an active interest and an active role in this, and, you know, I think when you've got a driver, a current driver of Lewis's legacy and experience, you know, I like to think in the edit room, he'll be there like, get rid of that. What the fuck's that? Like, that's not true to life.
I've just remembered something. Did you ever see, it was actually, this is a music video, so this wasn't a film. It was David Guetta did a tune, I want to say like 10, maybe years ago, sort of like 2012 to 14 era. And for some reason, the music video was based around a Formula One race, but they recreated their own one. So they made their own, and it was at Jerez. It was in Spain. Like, the track was in Spain. I can't remember the actual storyline of the music video at all, but it was like a main character, or whatever, with a white helmet on. And I remember he was driving he was driving an actual Formula One car, but then he was overtaking cars that weren't actually Formula One cars. Like, he was driving
like a multi-class.
Yeah, he was passing like a GP3 car and like his Formula One car. I was like, of course he is. Like, what? It was that's what you don't want.
That's what we want to avoid.
Shout out David Guetta though.
Yeah,
hasn't made a tune in a while. Has he made, actually? No, that I'm blue. That I'm good and I'm fit. Is that him?
Is that him?
That blue dabbity whatever.
Just cover. any generic
house song. He probably made it.
He probably co-produced it.
Any generic Formula One video. He probably
that
produced
man doesn't
it.
Need to work another day in his life. He royalties.
Yeah,
beat up Bosch.
Yeah, just sack it off, David.
Do you know he's a billionaire now?
Who?
Toto Wolff.
Is he?
Apparently,
billionaire.
Apparently he's now a billionaire, according to his, because he owns a third of Mercedes AMG Petronas F1 team.
Right.
See, Lewis, even I can get the name right.
That is. I wouldn't.
Yeah. And like all of his other business, apparently his total, not he's not got a billion in the bank.
Yeah, but like his net worth.
Net worth, yeah. A billion.
A bill?
Billionaire.
A billy. A billy, a billy.
The old boy would be proud.
That is crazy. Shout out to Toto Wolff, man. The Terminator has got serious, serious dollar bills.
But I guess think about it, right? If we're rating based off of Stefano talking about raising the entry fee from 200 mil to 600 potentially.
Yeah.
They're like the buy-in before you've even made a factory or whatever, you have to pay. Currently it's 200. They're talking about raising it to 600.
Do you reckon Toto Wolff might be the tallest billionaire in the world?
Ooh.
I reckon how tall is he? He's like 6'6", surely, right? He's a big man.
He's a big man.
He's a big...
I reckon he's maybe the...
His trousers are like made for him, specifically. He doesn't go to like Zara or like H&M.
The seams wouldn't last.
No way. No way. He definitely has like size 15 shoes as well.
I reckon he's the most... Yeah, he's the most... handsome billionaire.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I can guarantee you right now, he's the most... Arnold Schwarzenegger sounding billionaire in the world. Actually, no, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is probably a billionaire.
Bartlett's book, Happy Sexy Millionaire.
Yeah.
Or Toto's is Happy Sexy Billionaire.
Yeah, billionaire. Yeah, no, he get to the chopper. Yeah he's...
But what I'm saying is that man. If an F1 team is valued at about a billion,
yeah,
because if it's 600 mil buy-in, without even the factory or anything else.
Yeah,
and he owns a third of that team.
Yeah.
That's what? That's 333 million right there, potentially. But
he spent half a billion on that party in Abu Dhabi when they won the championship.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I don't think that is his net worth at all, mate. He was pissed. I saw the prices out there.
Do you reckon he paid for that on his purse? Oh, yeah. You got lost in that yacht, didn't you?
Yeah, next question.
I'm surprised I didn't see you in the background.
Yeah, just like, just wandering around like, Toto! Just like falling off the fucking marina into the water. Never to be seen again.
Oh, rip, Niren.
Rest in peace. I had a good run.
You made it.
I didn't. It was there. It was all right.
Right, mate, let's round out with we get back
our
to
favorite final segment,
Equal Machinery.
Mm.
Something a little bit different this time, though.
Ooh.
A little bit different because we're going, oh,
hit me.
Is there something in your can of water?
I'm just liking the spice, you know. So,
well, so it's just the two of us. We thought, and we talked about tracks and obviously certain tracks at risk. Oh, actually. I'm fuck you, Lewis. I'm changing up.
I wouldn't have that.
I'm changing up, right? So instead of us picking the best ever F1 track each,
right,
individually, okay. I pick one for you, and you have to argue why it's the best.
Oh.
And you pick one for me.
I'm gonna stiff you. That sounds crazy, but I'm gonna stiff you up. I'm gonna stiff you up here because this is gonna be.
All right, okay. Go on then. What are you picking for me then?
What am I picking for you?
And then I'll choose how much I return the stiff.
Mad, absolutely crazy. I'm just trying to think of a track that really was stinky. I mean, Sochi's up there. Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sochi.
You're gonna give me Sochi.
I'm gonna give you Sochi.
Okay, I'm going to give you the Las Vegas car park from the 1980s.
I don't even know what that looks like. Can I see that just quickly?
Okay. I'll get you a picture. Right.
Yeah.
So this was the track where...
It was in a car park, by the way, just to clarify.
It was literally a car park.
Right, good. That's a car. I've thought of it already.
And yeah, like all the drivers like passed out of heat exhaustion and it was...
They just need to grow up, to be honest.
Just have a little skin.
Okay. I've seen it. I've seen this before. I've seen this before. For anyone who doesn't know, can't see it, give it a Google. But it basically looks like a Monster Munch crisp.
Oh, it does.
Is what I would say.
Man.
Like, it's basically just like a round circle bit to sort of... top everything off and then like you just the thing is you just kind of go in and out and then back
it's an
again.
Indoor karting track because that's what they have to do, indoor karting tracks, because you're so restricted.
I mean, that is shocking. At least seven of those corners are exactly the same.
You've got to explain to me why that's the best F1 track.
Okay I'm actually gonna go first.
Okay, you feel confident?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna go first on that one.
All right, he's back in it.
I'm here.
I'm excited for this one. I'm ready, everyone.
So just hit me with that 1 minute. And I'll get to go in.
Three, right. Two, one, go.
Right, first of all, it's in a car park. Free parking for everyone. That's the first thing, straight off the bat.
don't have to pay for anything. Everyone in the whole place can park there. We're living. All the fans, free car park space. All the drivers, free car park space. Look, and that means there's more money to spend on betting in Las Vegas. Go to the casino, mate. All that money you would have spent on the parking to go to the Grand Prix, you're living your best life. In terms of the location, obviously, come on, Las Vegas. Unbelievable scenes, yes. There's already a lot to do outside of the Grand Prix. After FP2, get yourself down to the casino, get yourself down to the slot machines, calm. Loads to do there. In terms of the heat exhaustion, the drivers have just got to grow up on that one, to be honest with you. Just install a fan in the car, do you know what I mean? Lift the lid up or something, get some air ventilation in there or something. I don't know. And the layout, it might look like a monster munch, but that's DRS zones for days. That's overtaking opportunities for days.
You know that last, that, yeah, a lot of tight braking zones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of heavy braking zones.
You could put DRS on like corners. Seven parts of the track there.
Yeah.
Because it's literally straight hairpin, straight hairpin, straight hairpin.
I feel like crisps should be used more as references for tracks. I think like a quaver. Brands Hatch is basically a quaver.
Yeah, yeah, facts, it is.
Brands Hatch is a quaver.
Like all American ovals are like Pringles, basically. So that's sorted. There you go. All those little discos you used to get, little disco crisps, if it's a bit more circular. That is a monster munch, though. That is a crate. Whoever designed that track was on Spice.
This is a serious effort. Brought to you.
Brought to you by Monster Munch.
I don't know. I'm gonna follow that, mate. Right, but I'm gonna try my best.
All right.
In 3, 2, 1, Sochi Autodrome at the, what was the Olympic Village, I believe, for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, good for
so
tennis.
You know, you could have like snowboarders jumping over the track. Don't know why they didn't do that. You know,
yeah.
Reach out. Skiers doing madness. You could have like curling stones like thrown out into the track.
Down the main straight.
Cool. Like, look, if you want to bring F1 into the 25th century, right? Let's do bits. Let's make this track a bit of a madness. Mm. Have an ice section, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lando wasn't fine last time. Sorry,
he was on ice anyway. To be fair,
yeah, it was essentially that. That's basically what we had last time out. And I think, you know, you build in that. To be fair, that long left-hander around Sochi as well, very iconic.
Yeah,
a very iconic corner. Yeah. Not much happened.
No,
just couple crashes. But a memorable corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the final sector, which was essentially like Las Vegas, just lots of straights.
Yeah,
lines.
Yeah. And acts like 90 degree. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's beaten me.
I think we've both done very well there to rejuvenate some shocking tracks. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
So you know what? Actually, the Las Vegas car park, I've just realised, sprint race. Just use that as the sprint race for this year. It's calm. You've already got
Max
a track
like
there.
That. Max is retiring if that happens. He's already not happy with the
he's
changes.
Out
as
of there. He's out of there.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like a different version of the track for the sprint.
Is that actually something that's like logistical?
Because a lot of tracks do have a shorter lap.
I mean, mate, if we went back to Paul Ricard, we could have 24 different layouts during the weekend.
Every lap could be free a different
practice,
layout. Every lap
just changes. It's like a train. It's like a railway line where they just switch it. And
yeah,
then,
the barriers are moving.
Yeah, the barriers.
Constantly.
Oh my
If you get stuck
days.
At the back, you're fucked.
It's a wrap.
Yeah,
it's a
you're
wrap.
You're going through turn 11, and it just goes.
And it just sweeps in on you. That's
Pirelli
it.
Board to the face. Right. No, it's look. Listen, I think we need to keep our minds open to where the future... No, because there are certain... Silverstone's still got the original layout. Well, not original layout, but the 2000 layout. Where they had... What's the name of the corners? I can't remember.
It's like, it's there. Because it was... Was it Abbey, the one that went downhill, the right hand under the bridge?
Yeah.
That's still there because you walk along that to go to certain parts of the track.
Yeah.
When you're just like walking between corners and stuff. So that corner is still there. But I get the feeling, and that original straight is because again, you walk down it and go under the bridge when you're walking to different places. But I don't know whether it like logistically, they've still got everything there.
Work. And I think obviously street tracks, you can do that. So... I think we did the right job though.
Monaco, they're just like, sorry lads, you're not allowed. You're
reverse.
Not going to the hairpin.
Just do it in reverse.
Yeah. We'll just open up the whole scene.
Oh my God, imagine that. The hill in reverse. That'd be absolutely terrifying.
Christ, yeah. Disgraceful.
Right, Liram, pleasure as ever.
Pleasure as always, my friend.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
It's nice sometimes just to have us just riffing.
Yeah, yeah, just waffling, yeah. Just freestyling, back to back.
That's what we do best.
Yeah, yeah, indeed.
That's how we built our careers on YouTube.
It is as if we built our careers on just waffling about stuff.
Where can everyone who's watched on YouTube find us elsewhere? If they don't want to look at us.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can't.
Understandable. Faces for radio.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or just
too handsome sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah. The monitor just can't handle it. I think, obviously, if you are watching on YouTube, then of course, feel free to like and subscribe. You know, turn the notifications on.
Won't miss anything.
Obviously, we'll be doing the live shows. You know when the live show's wrong because they'll coincide with the race. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Indeed.
In terms of audio only, Spotify, give us a 5-star rating.
Yep.
All other audio platforms are available.
Yeah.
We're also available on the back of a Strongbow Dark Fruits can. You just peel off the wrapper.
Yeah.
On the little back bit. You can watch us there. You can catch us as a little QR code. Just scan that and boom.
And it's if there. You get one at a Spoons, then open the menu.
Yeah.
And if you just look down in the burgers and fries section at the bottom.
Yeah, we're there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mad. We used to be in the side section, but now we've got like a full mainstay. Like we convinced Spoons, basically. We bribed them.
We're two top tier now, man.
Yeah, yeah. We're up there now with the rest of the burgers.
We've made it, finally. Yeah. Thank you all for watching. A pleasure as always.
We'll see you next week
for another waffle.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, after that, we'll finally have some.
We'll have a bloody Grand Prix.
Up the Baku.
Mad thing. You can't say that.
Oh, no, I can't. Yes, that's not.
Bye, everyone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.